Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Now is the time to make that big purchase. Lake Hill Motors in Corinth has layaway for Christmas time. Check out the ongoing deals with bonus bucks on Honda and customer cash on Yamahas. The best in power sports for over 60 years in North Mississippi. LakeHillMotors.com.
You're listening to the Rebel Report podcast, where it's all Ole Miss all the time. Here's your host, Michael Borky.
What's up, everybody? Welcome into this edition of the Rebel Report. My name is Michael Borky. Appreciate you hanging out on this Tuesday night, a day before an absolutely pivotal basketball game between Ole Miss and Texas tomorrow night in the Pavilion. And I've noticed something on the recruiting trail, and I'm certainly not the only one. It is not a unique observation to me, but I do think that there is, I don't know if a shift is the right word, but there is going to be a change, in my opinion. There's going to be a change in the emphasis on the transfer portal moving forward. I think, I could be wrong, but I think, and Ole Miss's actions over the last few weeks, I think tell you that they expect that to be the case as well. So that's what we're talking about tonight on this edition of the show. My name is Michael Borky. Don't forget to like the video, subscribe to the channel if you're watching on YouTube over on Super Talk. Don't forget to like and subscribe. And wherever you get your podcasts, don't just watch, but make sure that you can listen as well. Just search Rebel Report, subscribe, and leave a rating and a review. This edition of the podcast, by the way, before we get into any of it, is presented by the Gregory Law Firm. DJ Gregory of the Gregory Law Firm has got you covered if you are a small business owner and you need some legal advice. If you are somebody that's been personally injured and you need some help, 662-397-9799, 662-397-9799. 9799 is the phone number. Personal injury against small business or contract disputes as well. DJ Gregory of the Gregory Law Firm has got you covered for all of those things. He's in Fulton, but he can take care of you anywhere. And he's presenting the Rebel Report. So I think you guys have noticed it. And I'm certainly not original to this talking point for sure, because I think it's starting to get obvious. Lane Kiffin, Pete Golding, and staff have hit the ground running hard on the 2026 high school recruiting class. They are everywhere. And maybe they've been like this behind the scenes, but publicly, I haven't seen them so well-traveled on the high school recruiting front like this since Lane Kiffin has been at Ole Miss. They are visiting basically every four-star and up in the 26 class. It's unbelievable how active that they have been. And the obvious thought is, has Ole Miss, have Lane Kiffin and Pete Golding, more so Kiffin than Golding, I guess, but have they changed their roster building approach? Is this a sign of change? And I think to some degree, they have to. And here's what I mean by that. So last year, Ole Miss signed the number one transfer portal class. Obviously, it was wildly successful. A lot of those guys are going to be playing in the NFL next year, a wildly successful class. It was number one for a reason, all of that stuff, right? It was very, very successful. This year, they, at the moment, if you, according to 24/7, have the number two transfer portal class in all of college football. And while I'm not saying that it's bad, it's certainly not bad. I really, really like what they have at wide receiver, for example. I think they've done an excellent job at wide receiver in this portal class. I think that there is starters. I think that there is depth. They've done really good at wide receiver. I like the tight end as well that they've added to go along with Daquan Wright. I like what they've done at linebacker. So there's things to like about this transfer portal class. And if they can get Coogan from Notre Dame, that would really be good for the offensive line. So there are things to like about this class for sure. But this one, it means it's number two, and there are a lot of questions. There are a lot of players in this class that you could possibly call a reach at certain spots, or there are players in this class that were not highly productive at their previous stops the way the guys in the previous class were. And they didn't bat 1,000 this year. I know they went after a handful of guys that they missed on that would have helped this. But I think part of why I am not like jumping up and down through the roof about this class, even though it's ranked number two, is because the quality on paper, just on paper, I'm not saying that it won't end up being a great class, but on paper, it is not really close to what they added last year, but it's only one spot back in the rankings. I think it is obvious. A lot of people have talked about this, but I think that they're right. The quality, the depth of quality in the transfer portal this year, I think definitively, we've talked about this before together, but I think there's no doubt about it that it's not the same. That because of revenue sharing and other things, schools did a better job at retaining the players that they wanted to retain. Even a place like Mississippi State was able to hang on to players that they wanted to hang on to after going 2-10. And so with all due respect to Mississippi State, they did lose some guys, but they were able to keep some guys that they wanted that were highly high-performing players, the ones that they did have. They were able to keep them a lot of them around. More player retention is obvious, whether it's because of revenue sharing and the promises that come from that or collectives finally catching up and getting their stuff together. The quality of player in the transfer portal this year was not the same as last year or even the year prior. I don't think it was. I think it's kind of obvious at this point. Quarterback movement, for example, that's another thing that if you look around college football, this time last year, the how many programs in college football used a transfer and like made it to the top, right? Ohio State transfer, Oregon transfer, Notre Dame transfer, and on and on and on. There was a lot of quarterback movement last year and in years past. The top programs in college football, sans Miami, who is their quarterback? It's a guy that they've already had. It's either a homegrown guy or a guy that was on their roster last year. I mean, look around. I mean, Ohio State's doing that. Ole Miss, obviously, doing that. Georgia apparently doing that. Texas doing that. Oregon doing that. Notre Dame hasn't added a portal quarterback to this point. I guess they're doing that as well. The highest profile position on the field saw a reduction in movement. The quality of defensive linemen wasn't anywhere close to what you had this past season. I don't know this for sure. I haven't talked to anybody that would know this kind of thing. But I do think that Lane Kiffin and Pete Golding's recruiting activity, I think, is a neon sign pointing directly to the fact that they saw what this crop of portal players was and are realizing that they still need to use it because the portal works for them, right? They have a brand about it, they have a reputation about it, and they have proof of concept about it. But if they're going to continue to field competitive rosters that can win 10 games a year, and you know, you would hope down the road can make the playoff at some point, not lose to Kentucky at home, they have to increase their emphasis on high school recruits because you're not getting that same quality in the portal this year. And moving forward, I think it's going to be more like this than it was just a year ago. So you should really like what you've seen from the amount of players that they've seen. You should really like that they have shown you over the last couple of years that even though they have this reputation in the portal, they're able to sign blue chip players. Look at the defensive line, for example. Who's going to be playing defensive line for Ole Miss this year? I know they added a couple of guys via portal, but the ones that they're going to depend on, they're going to depend on, are guys that they signed out of high school. Quarterback is a guy that they signed out of high school. So they're already kind of leaning on it more. I think they're going to lean on it more and more and more moving forward. The quality wasn't there for them to continue at the pace that they've won at. But this is also, if this is true, this phenomenon is coming at a very good time because of where Ole Miss is as a program. Yes, I know they came up short in 2024. Everybody knows that. We don't need to rehash that any further. But they are, Walter Nolan said it in one of his interviews at the Senior Bowl. He's like, Ole Miss is a player's program. Like, I talk to guys and they want to play there. Like, it's an attractive place. People are interested in Ole Miss. And so even if the reduction in quality has gone down in the portal, they are still a program that has the ability to sell themselves. They're in a really good spot from a perception perspective, recruiting high school players. I mean, think about it. When they walk into a guy's living room, Lane Kiffin's been at Ole Miss for 5 years. I mean, he was 10, 11 years old when Matt Luke was the coach at Ole Miss. Didn't even remember anything like that. So all these kids really know is Ole Miss being attractive, Ole Miss being a program that is good, that is winning, that is moving players onto the NFL. So with the shift coming that I think is coming, you're in a very good spot to be able to continue to sell yourself in a slightly different way. So I'm curious if that's actually what's going on. I think it is. And the quality of portal player really across the board tells you that, because this Ole Miss class, again, it's they did nice things in it. It's not last year. It's not close to last year, because that opportunity didn't really present itself in the same way. I know LSU's done some nice things in Texas Tech, but even, look at LSU's class and compare it to Ole Miss last year. It's not the same. It's not anywhere close to the same. So, also have basketball tomorrow. It is just simply, I think it's a must-win game for Ole Miss. I know that they're still ranked. The metrics still really like them, as we've discussed. Joe Lenardi has them still as a six seed with a greater than 80% chance to make the tournament. They're in fine shape. They're in absolutely fine shape. But three losses in a row can quickly become six with another loss tomorrow night. I think this team, it could spiral out of control with Kentucky and Auburn. Flip that, Auburn and Kentucky coming up on the schedule. They have got to kind of stop the bleeding a little bit. And they've got to have one of those nights where they just feel good about themselves again. Part of me wonders if a three-game losing streak could mess with their mental makeup. And you would hope that they've got a veteran enough team to weather some storms like that. I mean, three-game losing streaks are not uncommon for very good teams in basketball. It does happen. It's happened to Chris Beard coach teams that made the national championship game. I mean, it has happened before. It will happen again. But this is an opportunity that they cannot pass up. It's a good Texas team with a really good guard in Johnson. What was he? The SEC player of the week last week. He's a big guard, too. He's 6'6". He's a really tough guy to defend. So they're going to have a challenge on their hands. But Ole Miss just needs to play much cleaner basketball. And it's not even just that they're turning the ball over. It's how and when. You know, it's on Tuesday, it was four consecutive turnovers. Right? It was when more than the volume, right? It was when it's happening. And a similar thing happened on Saturday a couple of times as well. They've got to do a much better job at protecting the basketball and just play clean and get a win and just kind of take a deep breath and reset, because three can quickly become six. Looking at this schedule, if they can't get it done tomorrow, they have got to win this game. It is absolutely a must win for Ole Miss. And we'll see if they can get it done. We will be live after the game to talk about it, regardless of results. So be on the lookout for that. Hope you guys will join me. We will talk about your comments, whatever you guys have to say, after I tell you about Toyota of Brookhaven. Toyota of Brookhaven, the new partner here on the podcast. And this is pretty mind-blowing. In 2024, so just last year, Toyota Brookhaven sold more new cars in Southwest Mississippi than any other dealership. They were the number one in Southwest Mississippi for selling cars, and you should go see why. They were voted the best new car dealership in the Daily Leader and the best of Southwest Mississippi over the last 4 years, because that's what they do. Toyota Brookhaven, interest rates just below 2% over 48 months, so rates are skyrocketing everywhere, not at Toyota Brookhaven. And when you go, tell them I sent you, say that you heard about it on the Rebel Report, and you will receive $1,000 off any in-stock new Toyota. Or online as well, if you're doing an online purchase. So you don't have to be in the Brookhaven area to shop with Toyota of Brookhaven. So check them out online. Use code Rebel Report or tell them in person that I sent you $1,000 on me at Toyota of Brookhaven. Visit them on site, exit 40 in Brookhaven, or online at toyotaofbrookhaven.com. Great service, great savings at Toyota of Brookhaven. They deliver. All right. What's up, man? Good to see you, Kobe. Big week in basketball. No doubt. No doubt. David says he doesn't think they've changed their recruiting strategy. It's still to get the best players you can afford. I hear you. Next one. What's up? You're right. Lane and company are on the high school trail big time. We've seen their high school efforts grow over the last 2 years, coinciding with the weakening of the portal. Yeah. Got to get to the line against the Horns for sure. And see, they've got to do a lot of things. The thing that stands out to me the most, though, and the next basketball game I coach will be the first one, right? But there are so many of their possessions that feel like there's just empty time. Like they're just wasting time where it's you've got one guy that just spends a lot of time just kind of dribbling on his own, and maybe he'll check to see if he can get some penetration, and he can't, and he'll kind of pass it out, maybe call for the ball back, and suddenly you're down to 4 seconds and you take a contested three. There's very little off-ball movement. There's very little ball movement at times. They can really just get bogged down with nothingness. And I know I'm sure there's basketball descriptions for that that are more intelligent than what I just said. But I think you guys are seeing the same thing that I'm seeing. At times it feels like that they aren't – when they have possession, it's purposeless. And I would like to see more of that coming up in this game. And then also protecting the basketball. You can't turn it over on inbounds. You can't do that crap anymore. That is something that has got to stop immediately. Whether you never let Padula inbound the ball again, or I don't know what you have to do, but you cannot, as a team that should make the tournament, you cannot have that many careless turnovers, especially in tight games in this league, because you're going to get whooped. I mean, it's just what – that they have been out-executed late in games, 4 games in a row, frankly, including the Alabama win. Alabama made it close, as we talked about, because of Ole Miss's poor execution. Brightfield saved them from that game getting really weird quick. Great job at receiver. I agree. I absolutely love, if you guys are looking for optimism, I love the receiver group that they have signed to the transfer portal. Absolutely love it. With Caden Lee returning and what they have at tight end as well. I mean, I think they've signed instant impact players that can give them like serious consistency at the highest level and some really good looking depth pieces as well. And obviously the high school guys coming in are promising. They've done a great job at receiver. Absolutely done a great job at receiver. What's up? Serious question. As you were looking at getting season tickets for next football season, it hit you that you had to ask me, why is the middle class getting priced out of attending games? This is something that I rant about on the radio show all the time. I hate it. I absolutely hate it because it is the middle and lower class people, the ones that it feels like to me care the most on top of it all. Maybe that's like an insensitive thing to say, but I mean, guys, you should see my house. I'm not a high income person either. I'm right there alongside with you guys. I wish I could have taken my sons to a Saints game this year, but man, even the bad Saints, you look at trying to buy tickets and like the fees and stuff, that it's just insane. And it's brutal. And you guys are being asked, told to give to the collective to pay the players, and your parking passes are going up, and now the Grove is getting monetized, and tickets are going up, and you know people say, well, this is just the cost of doing business. Like, if you want to win, you have to pay. Well, you don't have to pay non-revenue sports that lose millions of dollars. What you do, I mean, wouldn't it be good first, as a department, to show that you're willing to maximize these people's dollars before you start demanding more out of them? But you don't get that, do you? You see waste and inefficiency. It's like the government. You see waste and inefficiency all over the place, and then they tell you they don't have enough, and so they have to take more from you. That's exactly what these departments do all over. I think it's disgusting, because what they do is they prey on your emotions. Because they know that you care so much and that you love it so much, and it's such a part of you that you wouldn't miss it. And so they can just nickel and dime you here and take money here and here and charge a little bit more for this and a little bit more for this and a little bit more for this and raise concession prices and all this stuff and just keep just taking from you, taking from you, taking from you, because they know they can. And they know they can because they know you love it, and they prey upon that. And they can just wastefully spend all this garbage all over the place because they know that they can take it from you. And it frustrates the hell out of me. I can't stand it. Even with the disappointment that was last week, there should be a good crowd tomorrow. Yeah, I especially students, right? You would hope that the students and then smart strategy by giving them the unused tickets and throwing them up in the overflow or the empty seats and the unsold seats, that should help too. But yeah, I think it's a make or break game with you. If they lose it, the tournament hopes might be in serious jeopardy because of the schedule. I agree. You blame the price of eggs, it all comes back to the chickens. No kidding. The portal isn't as rich in the talent pool as it used to be. I agree completely. I mean, I think it's obvious at this point. If you want to buy one ticket to the Ole Miss-LSU game next year, you have to pay a minimum of $200. And then the parking thing. Because they know that you want to park on campus, so they'll do it. The end of players with extra eligibility has a lot to do with players in the portal. That is ending, finally. The COVID year is finally ending. But I do think it's more about the restriction of – not the restriction of movement, but teams able to retain their players in ways that they couldn't before. What's more likely to take place? The SEC expands to 18 or 20, or the SEC adds another conference game? Adds another conference game is more likely. Big ref job in Knoxville. To be honest with you, I have not been watching, so I do not know what has happened there. Oh, wow, Kentucky's going to go in there and win. Wow. I have not been watching at all. Not at all. Wow, that's a big win for Kentucky. Wow. Weird but true, you saw where UNLV is believing they have a shot at Big Ten membership. They play UCLA this year, and some of their people have leaked that it's essentially a trial for Big Ten membership. Whoever's saying that is wrong. One game is not going to decide whether or not an athletic department gets invited to the Big Ten. It will have – I believe you that people are saying that, but that is – it's nonsense is what that is. So – amazing how no one talks about Walter Nolan, and surprise, surprise, he's dominating Senior Bowl practices. Yeah, it's kind of crazy that a guy that had the season that he had in the SEC is being described as a guy that was under the radar going. I mean, he's an All-American, right? As under the radar at the Senior Bowl. But yeah, he's dominating because he's special. He is special. I kept saying this during the season. I'm a very repetitive person, if you guys haven't figured that out by now. But there were so many narratives about him. And maybe they were true at one point. Maybe they were. But there were narratives about him, about laziness, about taking plays off and stuff like that. Man, he was special. And he played through injury, too. And he was special. And he's got really good things to say about Ole Miss when it's all said and done, too. So, it's 100% a must-win tomorrow. Dart looks to be performing well at Senior Bowl practices. Contrast that to Jalen Milroe not being able to throw clean routine passes over the middle. Yeah, Milroe had a really bad day, didn't he? It's almost as if he is not particularly good at throwing the football on short and intermediate routes. And, yeah, he's got a big, strong arm, and, you know, he's athletic, but there's more to playing quarterback, especially in the NFL, than those two things. So, yeah. I didn't get to watch the practices, obviously, but yeah, there were a lot of people, especially ones that cover the Saints, that were very excited about Jackson Dart. He's turning some heads there. So, all the Giants fans want Dart now. Well, the Giants OC interviewed with the Saints recently, so you believe Jackson has a bright future? I'm still, like, you know, we got to see how the week concludes and the NFL people start changing their mock drafts and stuff to see what kind of week he had. But I still think that he will be in the later first round than in the top 10. But now that I said that, he's going to be a top 10 pick, knowing my track record. So his team is capable of beating Texas and Kentucky. I'm going to throw Auburn out the window. Clean basketball can win both games. Texas isn't particularly good at rebounding. They're capable of beating Auburn, too, but I understand why you said that for sure. Got to find four wins. That's all they have to do is find four. But, man, if you start really sliding, it just makes it tougher and tougher. And then the pressure increases, you know. And interested to see Kentucky style against Ole Miss. They can score in bunches but can't defend at all. It's a good-on-good, bad-on-bad situation, huh? Rebounding is the biggest issue, but that's something you don't know they can magically overcome. Bad possessions and shots, turnovers, and a lack of physicality on offense will lose them a lot more games. Yeah. Do I think the defense will struggle next year? Not as long as Pete Golding is coaching it. No, I don't. I like what they have at linebacker with Dottery and then what they've portaled. I think they've done a good job at the portal there. There's a lot to like about the defensive line. I mean, you've got Perkins returning, and I know he's not a defensive lineman in that way, but you've got Perkins returning, Xavier Harris. If Walter Nolan didn't exist, Xavier Harris would have been a guy that every Ole Miss fan knows well. He has all the physical tools to be an exceptional defensive tackle, and when he was given the opportunity to play, he showed you that. They like and were able to keep Echols. Franklin is, I mean, he looks physically like Jared Ivey. We'll see if he can become him. Akello Stone returning is just very good and important for depth. Jam Brown is also a guy that they really like. I certainly don't think they're going to lead the country in sacks and tackles for loss again. But I do think that they will be good defensively because that's what Pete Golding does, regardless of what Alabama fans say. They're just wrong about it. Go Big Blue, Cats take down the worst fan base in sports. Let me introduce you to Eagles fans. We saw them play well enough to win a game versus a dominant rebounding team before a giant choke that wasn't caused by the rebounding discrepancy. Yeah, absolutely. Thank God they built that dumb sphere in downtown Oxford. No telling what that cost. Yeah, but at least that's not Ole Miss, you know? But yes, wasteful government spending is a real thing. Sports fandom feels like it's an all take and very little give back to the fans. They give nothing back to the fans. They think that their existence is enough for you. They give nothing back to you. Some people are going to roll their eyes at this, but why haven't you had a Meet the Rebels day? Well, where did that go? I know that, you know, there's autograph dealers and stuff that try to take those over, but let me tell you something. When I was going to Furman games when I was a kid, because that's what I got to do, Meet the Paladins Day was my favorite day of the year, and it wasn't a game. My favorite day of the year was getting to go talk to the players, 10-year-old me, shake their hand, give them a fist bump, and then 2 weeks later when they have a home game and I see that guy make a tackle, I'm like, Dad, that's the guy. He, you know, I high-fived him. Those moments, like even little things like that, that costs Ole Miss nothing to do. A Meet the Rebels Day, but they don't do it anymore. Why not? Why not? Why are you not doing everything you possibly can to connect with your fans in every imaginable way? Chris Beard is doing a hell of a job connecting like the local people to basketball. He's doing a really good job of that. But Ole Miss could do so much better at connecting people back to their program. They really could do a much better job at providing access to. And I don't mean access to practices. I'm not talking about that. I mean access to the people that are there. Or, I don't know, look into the economics of what the Atlanta Falcons did. Reducing their concession prices has made them more money. Short-sighted stuff, inefficiency, treating – and this isn't unique to Ole Miss. I feel like I'm ripping Ole Miss today. It's not unique to Ole Miss. Everybody does this. Everybody does this. But because, you know – it's an Ole Miss podcast. I'm talking about Ole Miss here. They could do a better job, a much better job at making you guys feel like your money is worth it. Are they doing that to you right now? And there are some people that are like, I don't care, just win. And that's great. That's awesome that you can, you know, that's all that you care about. That's not everybody. And as my son's getting older, and as he's getting older, I want to be able to take him to something like that, because that's how you get kids to connect. I took him to a Mississippi Braves game this year, and because nobody was there, because the Braves did an awful job at marketing and everything else. We sat front row down the first base line, and a coach from the Pensacola Blue Wahoos came up to my son and gave him a ball and like a little fist bump and a high five and stuff. And suddenly he was like, that guy's my friend. I want his team to win. And for 7.5 innings of baseball, he was locked in because of one little moment between person on the field and player in the stands. Do those moments get to happen for you anymore? Yeah, you got to see the baseball team if you went to the basketball game the other night. That's a good thing. They could do a hell of a lot more, though. They could do so much more. You agree, too. A ticket for the Oklahoma game last year was in the $250 to $300 range. That's crazy. Tennessee now 4-4 in league play. It's almost like it's the best league in America. Nolan didn't take a single play off for us, that's for sure. He was truly dominant. Jared Ivey also had some good clips. Yeah, Ivey's going to be a guy that we're going to look up in 10 years and be like, what a great, I mean, like, I think he's going to have a great NFL career. He is, like, he's not the best defensive lineman in the draft. He's not the strongest or the most athletic, but he is good at everything, and he's got the size, and he's got the upstairs. He will be, I made this comparison during media days. I think Jared Ivey is going to have a similar career as Cam Jordan. And Cam Jordan's a Hall of Famer. So that's an unfair comparison to a guy. But Cam Jordan's not the biggest or the fastest. But he's obviously very good. He's going to be a Hall of Famer. But Cam Jordan is so good upstairs. He is such a culture guy. He's so smart and engaging with people and like engaging in the community. And he does all those things, right? He's like an all-American type guy. That's what Jared Ivey is. So not only is he 6'5 and a half, 280, and he's got the burst and the moves and all that, he's the kind of guy that you want on your team. And so he measured well. He's performing well at the Senior Bowl. And then people are going to interview him and they're going to think, damn, I need this guy on my team. Like, I've got to have this guy on my football team. I wouldn't be surprised if he's a second-round pick. Kind of tired of people blaming refs. I know officiating is not great, but these are no professional refs. How about teams not let themselves be in the position of letting the refs affect the game? Yeah, I think when Ole Miss did as many things poorly as they have done over the last three games, blaming officiating is near the bottom of things that I would do, to be honest. So, prediction for tomorrow night and an updated final SEC record for Ole Miss. I think they're going to win tomorrow, and I think they're going to win 9. I'm 9-9 in the SEC, and I do think they're going to win tomorrow, and they're going to find 4 more. It helps that here. Let's go through it. So tomorrow they get to 5. Give me a second. Let me make sure I get their schedule in order. And so I need to find 4 more, right? They have Oklahoma at home, so there's 1. They have Mississippi State at home, there's 2. Splitting South Carolina and LSU, that's 3. So they need 1 out of Auburn, Kentucky, at Vanderbilt, Auburn again, at Florida. Tennessee at home. I'm still sticking with that for now. Giants giving the season ticket holders a free medium Pepsi was the biggest slap in the face ever. I haven't heard about that, but oh. Not saying the NFL is rigged, but it did itself no favors with the AFC title game when the side judge facing the ball says first down and the opposite side judge says otherwise. It's a bad look. It was, but I am, you know, I guess I'm a contrarian at this point because I actually like Patrick Mahomes. I know his brother is obnoxious and, you know, people have a lot of things to say about his wife, and I'm not going there. But I have Chiefs fatigue. I'm sick of them. Like, I'm sick of it. I want somebody else to win. But Mahomes has done things in his first 7 years that no other quarterback has done. He married his high school sweetheart. He has never even had, like, a bad online rumor about doing anything wrong. Seems to be a really engaged father to his young children. And he is an unbelievable quarterback. Possibly the best that's ever lived. Definitely had the best first 7 years of any quarterback in the history of the sport. I can't find anything wrong with the guy. I love that. I mean, I think that he's the type of he's an all-American type guy. I like Patrick Mahomes a lot, and I'm sick of him because I want to see somebody else win. But I don't understand the hatred for him personally, as if it's his fault that his brother's a loser. You know, it's not his fault. I don't know. Sports could stand to have a lot more guys like Patrick Mahomes in them. But anyway. You like when some teams still do the alma mater and a bunch of players interact with the crowd after? None of that anymore. Clemson. Clemson lets their fans on the field after every home game, and every time players stick around to take pictures and high fives and stuff. All of them. A Clemson player threw me a touchdown pass when I was a kid after a game. I didn't even like him. You know how cool that was? Also, poor Josh Allen. Yeah. Well, the whole new charging for Grove spots is about to piss everyone off worse. I mean, I guess it's only through the companies, right? So it's not like the entire Grove is becoming corporatized, that the customization is still going to be allowed, but it's going to cost. But again, like I said, if I were you guys, I would be demanding to see more efficiency before I started paying extra for things, because there's wasteful spending. There is wasteful spending. Fix that first. Even Ole Miss's athletic department is extremely hard to get through to. Very secretive and exclusive. You can't get much access at all. That probably goes for many places, yeah. But yeah, do you agree? Chris Beard has been great with connecting with fans and students. Yes, he has. Outside of A.J. Brown getting a ring, I could care less about the Super Bowl. I'll watch. I will watch, but I'm not super engaged. It was a clear first down. It was a first down. I understand why they didn't overturn it. The failure was when the ref that didn't have the good angle ruled him short. That was where they failed, not overturning it on replay. They should have, but the real failure was a ref overturning a call that he didn't see very well. But I'm interested. I think what's going to happen, though, what's going to affect them is the Eagles have a duo of really good wide receivers, right? They're really special there. But I think that Jalen Hurts is limited compared to what the Chiefs are going to be able to do. And if Philly can't get Saquon going and going really strong, then they're going to get beat possibly by multiple scores. This is weird because he's back in the Super Bowl, but I'm not a believer in Jalen Hurts the way some other people are. I think that team would be much better with a better passer, and they don't have that right now. They've overachieved because of who they have at quarterback, I think. I like Jalen Hurts, though, like personally, and obviously A.J. Brown winning would be great. I don't think Eagles fans deserve any ounce of happiness, but is it just you, or were the Patriots under Brady more likable overall than the Chiefs? Obviously, I like Andy Reid over Belichick, but the whining the Chiefs do with the Taylor Swift stuff is just tiring. Yeah. Eugene, I don't know of one, but hopefully someone in the chat can help you out, man. Hopefully so. Andy Reid is so likable. It's just that Patrick's wife and brother are idiots, and then people like Jason Kelly are much more than his brother. Then the whole Swift crap turned people against them. I understand why people have turned against him. I get it. But the the Mahomes himself hate, I don't understand. Say Kelsey ruins Mahomes for you. The school is going to charge by the spot per game. Okay, maybe I've heard wrong then. I thought it was they are charging the setup companies for early setup, like early access to the Grove. They're not like marking spots all over it and then charging you to put your thing there. Maybe I'm wrong. I could be wrong. I'll have to look into that. I haven't seen like a formal announcement or anything but I thought it was they're charging for early access, and the companies that are getting said early access are getting charged per tent. But there's no, like, they haven't put a grid on the entire thing. It's just that. But maybe I'm wrong. Josh Allen gets to marry Hallie Steinfeld. I think he'll be okay. I have no idea who that is. But anyway. Yeah, I actually saw this. Fun fact, since his trade, A.J. Brown has more Super Bowl appearances than Treylon Burks has receiving touchdowns. Good one, Titans. You knew that was bad from the second they did it. It made absolutely no sense. Bird in the hand beats two in the bush, right? You're trading a receiver who hasn't even really hit his prime yet for a rookie, a guy that you draft. You know one is elite in the NFL, and you let him go to pick a guy that you don't know? Yeah. If they had Stafford, my goodness, it would be unstoppable. Yeah, like with Matt Stafford, they would be the favorite. But Titans don't get enough credit for being one of the worst franchises in the sport. They owe the Jets and Giants in that regard. Yeah, no kidding. I do agree with this. Mahomes is officiated differently. And he baits it. He absolutely baits it. The overexposure of the Kelce brothers is sensory overload. I don't get the appeal that much. I mean, and, you know, I like Jason. I think he seems like a good dude. But, yeah, there's too much. There's too much of them. Like a late night show? What are we doing? Tennessee missed 34 threes tonight. That's unbelievable. What did they go? So they missed 34. Let's see. They scored 73 points. Oh, that's Kentucky. Okay, here we go. 11 of 45 from three. Ugh. What an awful, awful, awful basketball game. Ziegler was 1 of 11 from 3. You had a 1 of 7, a 3 of 10, a 2 of 8. Jeez. Terrible. You do love the Mannings, but sometimes you get fatigued of them from doing everything too. That's kind of died off a little bit as well, but she does a voice in the Spider-Verse movies. Oh, good to know. Fulmis is playing well. The Tennessee game is winnable at the end of the year. They can't shoot and are downright awful on the road. See, there's a lot of these winnable games left. The problem is, because of the way they defend, I think they're going to be in a lot of these games close. And their biggest issue is closing games. Got to figure some stuff out. You bet at least 15 came in the last 3 minutes and they couldn't buy a three at the end. Wow. Ugh. Ugly, ugly stuff from the Vols. So we'll be back tomorrow. It'll be late. It'll be like 10:30. But we'll do post game after the game tomorrow, regardless of the result. And looking forward to doing that with you guys. So I'll see you tomorrow night. Enjoy the rest of your night, and I'll talk to you again after the game tomorrow.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.